ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 4, Text 44. It doesn't have a purport, so I'll read 44 and we'll read 45 together, and then I'll read 46. Finish the chapter. Sandesya sarulokasya kadane karana priyan kamarupa darandikshu danavan grihama avisat. These demons, the followers of Kamsa, were expert at persecuting others, especially the Vaishnavas, and could assume any form they desired. After giving these demons permission to go everywhere and persecute the saintly persons, Kamsa entered his palace. Te vai raja prakritayas tamasa mudha chetasa satam vidvesam aserur arad agata mrityavaha tevai raja prakritayas tamasa muda chetasaha satam vidvesam aseru arad agatam rityavaha tevai raja prakritayas tamasa muda chetasaha satam vidvesam aseru araragatam vityavaha tevai rajak prakritayas tamasa mudachetasaha satam vidvesam aseru araragata mrityavaha. Sa mudachetasaha padam vibhesamaseru araragata mrityavaha devai raja prakritayas tamasa mudchetasaha tasam vivesamaserur arar agatamityavaha devai raja prakritayas tamasa mudachetasaha satam vidvesam aserur arad agatam rityavaha tevai raja prakritayas tamasa mudachetasaha satam vidvesam aserur ajam agatam rityavaha. Matajis tevai raja prakritayas tamasa muda chetasaha satam vidvesam aserur adyam agatamityavaha. Tevai Rajak Prakritayas Tamasa Mudachetasaha Satam Vidvesam Haseru Arad Agata Mityavaha Te All the Asuric Ministers. Vai Indeed Raja Prakritaha Raja Prakritayaha Surcharged with the mode of passion. Tamasa, overwhelmed by the mode of ignorance. Mudachetasaha, foolish persons. Satam, of saintly persons. Vidvesam, persecution. Aseluhu, executed. Arat agatam nityavaha. Impending death, having already overtaken them. Translation. Surcharged with passion and ignorance and not knowing what was good or bad for them, the asuras for whom impending death was waiting began the persecution of the saintly persons. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 2.13, Dehino Sminyata Dehe Komaram Yovanam Jara Tata Dehantara Praptir Diras Tatra Namuyate. As the embodied soul continually passes in this body, from boyhood to youth to old age, the soul similarly passes into another body at death. The self-realized soul is not bewildered by such a change. Irresponsible persons surcharged with passion and ignorance foolishly do things that are not to be done. Nunam pramata krute vikarma. But one should know the results of irresponsible actions as explained in the next verse. And the next verse is 46. Ayushriyam yaso dharmam lokam ashisham evacha Hanti Shreyam Sisarvani Pumso Mahad Atikramaha. My dear king, when a man persecutes great souls, all his benedictions of longevity, beauty, fame, religion, blessings, and promotion to higher planets will be destroyed. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 10th canto, 4th chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled The Atrocities of King Kamsa. Again, today's verse, Tevai Raja Prakritayas Tamasamuda Chetasaha Satam Vidvesam Aseru Aradhagata Mrityavaha. Surcharged with passion and ignorance, and not knowing what was good or bad for them, the asuras for whom impending death was waiting began the persecution of the saintly persons. Om Agyana Timirandasya Jananjana Shalakaya Chaksur Unmilitam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Nama. I was born in the darkness of ignorance, and my spiritual master opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. I offer my respectful obeisances to his lotus feet. So here, the fate of a person or people, a group of people that persecute the saintly persons is given. One who goes against the saintly persons, it says in this last verse, he loses all benediction of longevity, beauty, fame, religion, blessings, and promotion to higher planets. Everything is destroyed. Therefore, one of the main tenets of the Vedic culture is Gosura Sadhu Vipranam. That one has to worship, as we heard the other day, the cows, the Gosura Sadhu. How's it called? Gosura Sadhu. The demigods, saintly people, these three in the beginning, the cows, the demigods, the saintly people, all of these have to be worshipped. Otherwise, there is no question of culture. Just like this Western culture, there are two persons running for president of the United States. And our culture is such that they do everything they possibly can to insult the other person. When they have a campaign, the campaign is not about the good things that will be done for society, just like in the days of the Raja Rishis, the saintly kings who could not be criticized. But the campaign is only criticism. If you look on the social media, they are saying that this is the first time in our history, of course it's not, that we have no real candidate for president of the United States. One is a thief and a crook, and the other is a bigot and a thief and a crook. And everyone is blaspheming everyone. That's Western culture. We're very proud of our Western culture. But it means I criticize you, you criticize me. Practically, we see that. Who's the most famous person usually is the one who can criticize the best and find the most faults. In this Kali Yuga, Kaler Dosa Nide Rajan, it's described in the Srimad Bhagavatam as an ocean of faults. There's faults everywhere. We're full of faults. But the Vaishnav and Vaishnavi, they see beyond these faults. They know that the faults of some person are temporary and of this material world. But as Srila Prabhupada describes in the purport, he quotes that verse, Nunam pramatak kurite vikarma. We've heard that a lot. One of our leading preachers here in the temple likes to quote that verse. I've heard it maybe for 45 years from this. Nunam pramatak kurite vikarma. They're mad after sense gratification. Srimad Bhagavatam states, because people are mad after sense gratification, therefore everyone is envious of everyone else. Because I want sense gratification, you're getting some, I want what you've got plus more. And we're mad after that. In this materialistic society, people are mad, so mad they'll do anything for sense gratification. You get in my way on the highway, I shoot you. You're leaving me? No. If I can't have you, no one can have you. Famous saying in our Western culture. If I can't have you, no one can have you. So many times before the murder of a spouse or loved one, they were saying to the other spouse, whether it's the woman who kills the man or the man who kills the woman, or they kill each other, or murder-suicide, If I can't have you, no one can have you. This is the epitome of enviousness. And Western civilization is based on this enviousness. We will become the greatest. I am the greatest. This nation will be the greatest. And becoming the greatest at the cost of hurting everyone else. There's a story that Srila Prabhupada tells of a boy and a frog. And a boy is throwing stones, rocks at the frog. And the frog says, what are you doing? And the boy says, I'm playing. And the frog says, it's playing for you, but it's killing me. So we were at one trade show for the American Academy of Religion, showing Srila Prabhupada's books. And next to us or near us was a place called the Hay House or Hay's House. And it was a New Age yoga affirmation booth, had all these books on the affirmations. So the lady in charge, Mrs. Hayes, invited me over because we were nearby giving out prasadam. She said, you pick out an affirmation because you gave me this burfi. So I went to the booth just to be friendly and picked out a card. And it said on the card, if it feels good, do it. This was one of her great affirmations and spiritual realizations. If it feels good, do it. The reason I remembered it so much, because when I was 14 years old, a freshman in high school, I put it in those, they first started the things that would shine on the wall and you could have a strobe light in your room during those years. It was brand new in the 60s. And I had on the wall, on the ceiling, I wrote, if it feels good, do it. Years and years before I got the deep, deep realization from our neighbors at the book fair. And I said, you know, there's a problem with this affirmation. She said, what's the problem? And as we heard on Saturday, we have to preach boldly and not compromise. Yes, if it feels good, do it. Everything, to some person, to feel good may be to murder another person. We had some moron yesterday take the head of an old man and bounce it on the floor, wasn't it, in Govindas, because no apparent reason, I guess because it felt good, so he did it. For someone it may feel good to shoot you or cause great harm in other ways. So I said that I told her the story of the boy and the frog. And she said, no, if it really feels good, it won't cause any harm to any other person. I said, well, you have to put that in the affirmation too. Not just if it feels good, do it. If it feels good, it won't cause any harm to any other person. No one was hurt in the performance of this feel good. Because they don't have Krishna Katha. Nunam pramitak guru devi karma. They're mad after sense gratification. Actually, if Krishna is pleased, then we're pleased. And the whole world becomes pleased. What's that verse? If you please Krishna, satisfy Krishna, then all the senses are pleased, the entire world, the entire universe becomes satisfied. Yasmin tuste jagat tustam. Tuste means satisfy. Yasmin tuste jagat tustam. The entire universe becomes satisfied. So our business isn't if it feels good, do it and please ourselves. We should understand, it was outlined by our dear head pujari some month ago, that this philosophy isn't just something, this philosophy of New Age and yoga and sentimentality isn't just something that's not dangerous. It's actually the most dangerous. Because we think, oh, that's funny. If it feels good, do it. Because we think, that's a nice little proverb. That's a nice saying. Because we think that they're not harmful. They don't want to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Just like Srila Prabhupada was outlining in Sunday's class, they're thinking that the performance of yoga is a great spiritual activity. If you can do Mukha Sasana Visasana, whatever it's called, Mukha Asana, I forget how it goes. Special postures. Prabhupada called it gymnastics. In other places, Prabhupada said, you can do any exercise. For Vaishnavas, swimming and wrestling. Real yoga, Prabhupada said. Yogi namapi sarvesham madgintanataratmanam shravam bhajate yumam samayuktitamam. Real yoga means having faith in the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Real meditation is meditating on Rukmini Dwarkadish, Radha Krishna, Radha Govinda. It's not meditating on the void. Meditating on the void is better than meditating on sense gratification, but ultimately it won't help you. And unfortunately, people become very puffed up and amazed with themselves that I'm meditating on the void. Aren't I special? I'm really special because I can meditate on the void. So we should understand that this consciousness, this philosophy, as Srila Prabhupada was pointing out on Sunday's class, is extremely dangerous. We have to be very careful that in the performance of our activities, we're pleasing the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We are not doing things for our feel good. We're doing things to please Krishna. Angani asya sakalendriya vrittimanti. Krishna can experience any type of pleasure with any of his senses. He's Govinda. So we do activities, we think in the way that Lord Krishna, that Rukmini and Dwarkadish will be satisfied with us. By the performance of Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam. And there'll be people that come and are very envious because they're envious of their own selves. People will come and harass. Always. Srila Prabhupada even said himself that when they attacked the Mayapur temple, I think again yesterday, day before, they attacked one temple in India. There was some mention. When they attacked the temple in Mayapur and arrested some of the leading sannyasis, or paraded some of the leading sannyasis in chains, Prabhupada wasn't in Mayapur at the time. And Prabhupada said, actually, they were after the old man. They were after me. But because I wasn't there, they took my disciples. So this enviousness, this enmity, will always exist in the material world. And it's our business, first of all, to clear ourselves of enviousness, to free ourselves from this vice, kam, krodh, lobha, moha, mada, matsarya, lust, anger, greed, illusion, kama, krodh, lobha, moha, mada, madness, and matsarya, envy. Because Krishna consciousness means nirmatsaranam satam. It's free from envy of other living entities. We may, due to our past conditioning, have enviousness still within our heart, as long as we're not pure devotee. We do have enviousness within our heart. But, as we heard Srila Prabhupada say, I think it was the last week, gradually, a penny a day. Prabhupada said, don't expect that you'll become 100% Krishna conscious overnight. You put in a penny a day. Of course, that's $3.65 a year. Prabhupada said, you put in a penny a day, and after some time, you'll be able to start a business. In America, penny a day, $3.65 a year, times 50 years is about a little less than $200. So in about 50 years, you'll be able to start your business with $200. Prabhupada was making the point that Krishna consciousness means you put away a penny a day, gradually. After years of seva. Not that after 2 months or a year, or I was born in this movement and I'm 12 years old, so now I'm very advanced. Prabhupada said, I could light fire by mantra. I just need a match or a lighter to go with it. In reality, no, a penny a day, service every day, wash the heart every day by chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, by performing seva, and gradually, over this lifetime, actually, if you put away a penny a day and you get $200, to really start a business, you probably need about $20,000 in this day and age. So what is 20,000 divided by 200 is 100? So it would take 100 lifetimes of 50 years to get ready for the business. So similarly, it may take us 100 lifetimes. But we're guaranteed, because you're performing service, we're performing service for Lord Krishna in this lifetime. Next lifetime, we take up where we left off. We had $4.32. We take up there, and the next day is $4.33. We take up our devotional service where we left off. So we should be prepared that this may take, this is a long distance course. What do they call that? This is a marathon. This isn't the 50-yard dash or whatever they call, 100-meter run. This is the, I think they call it 5K or something, 5-kilometer run. Or like when we were in high school, they had the 26-mile, the marathon runners would run every Saturday morning the 26-mile run. This is the long-distance run. But one has to stay very diligent. Just like the runner, same example, we had to go out for cross country because we were on the wrestling team. So we were on the cross country team. If you walk during the 26 miles, you won't finish in a decent time. You'll be passed up by everyone. So one has to keep going and keep running the entire 26 miles. For me, it took all day. I don't know. I ran so slow. But we kept running and finished the race. Sometimes they show in the wide world of sports someone finishing the, maybe it's more than 26 miles, and they're like 5 feet away and their partners come and just drag them over the pavement to the finish line. That may be there too. You may not be able to finish your Krishna consciousness, but your God brothers, your God sisters will drag you. Your spiritual master will drag you to the finish line. So we have to be prepared that this is a long, long, long-term process. And people may harass. We don't have the harassment that comes up, usually, sometimes. But people may harass in different ways, mentally or socially. Or nowadays, people put something about another person on Facebook to try to ruin their character and say derogatory things. I think now is a big thing in high school that some children are committing suicide because people are saying things about them on Facebook, criticizing them and making them look foolish in different ways. So for Vaishnav, for Vaishnavi, we are trying to become nirmatsaranam, free from this, I criticize you, you criticize me. Even in our young stages of devotional service, we have to somehow or other, yena kena prakarena, somehow or other, by focusing on Lord Krishna and his service, by focusing on his holy names, not get involved in a critical mind. Otherwise, we become like the demons that are being discussed here. We become critical of the devotees, and we will no longer have longevity, beauty, fame, religion, blessings, or promotion to higher planets. All will be destroyed. So one has to be very careful in our deity worship. We have to be careful not to commit offenses. And two things are of utmost importance that Srila Prabhupada taught us in deity worship. To be very clean and to be very punctual. Cleanliness and punctuality. So when we're worshiping the deity, and in our life, if we maintain that cleanliness and punctuality, just like we have a book room full of Srila Prabhupada's books. That book room, the books, they are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They are no different than Dwarkadish on the altar. That's what's said in the Bhagavatam. Krishna Swadhamo Pagate Dharma Janadibhisaha. That this Bhagavat Purana is as brilliant as the sun and is risen just after the departure of Lord Krishna to his own abode, accompanied by knowledge, religion, etc. Persons who have lost their vision due to the darkness of ignorance shall get light from this Purana. So we have to be careful that in our pursuance of preaching Krishna consciousness, that Srila Prabhupada's books are kept very clean. His book room is like the altar. If the books are Krishna, then the book room is the altar room. So one should actually, you shouldn't even go in the book room without a clean dhoti and tilak. Of course, there's some allowance for preaching that one can go in. But one has to keep that book room. One has to think, I'm on the altar. This is Arti. This is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And therefore, the book room should be as clean and punctual as the altar of Lord Krishna, of Rukmini Dwarkadish. And our pujaris, they're expert. They've been trained. Rabindranath Prabhu was trained. I think he's the oldest devotee in this temple. He joined, I think, in the 50s. I don't know when he came. And he's been doing puja for so many years. They're cleansing the altar every 10 minutes. And they're right on time. Punctuality and cleanliness. So similarly, Srila Prabhupada's book room, we should actually be cleaning the cement like Prabhuji is doing here. Can you do that in the book room too, Prabhu, when you're finished? Cleaning the cement in the leaky book room there. And keeping everything very neat and punctual. That's God. That's Krishna. Neat and punctual. In this way, we become freed from offenses. We become freed from, we cleanse our own heart. Little bit, penny a day of enviousness that's lying there. Always. And become qualified ultimately, 100 years from now, 100 lifetimes from now, to return back home, back to Godhead. All glory to Sri Guru and Gauranga. Thank you.